a lesson this morning. I'm going to be in the first chapter of Ephesians, and I've preached out of this chapter recently, but we're going to use some of the same scriptures, but maybe go a little bit different direction with it today. But I want to just read a couple of verses, starting in the 13th verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. And Paul, who's writing here, is talking about Jesus Christ. And then he says in the 13th verse, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." And I want to look at that phrase, that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm sure that many of you have studied that and heard sermons about that and are very familiar with this passage. And I don't, again, claim to have anything new to bring before you. And as I've said before, I don't believe that there is anything new for us to bring. It's the same old story. I don't have any new insights about this, but we do have some thoughts that the Lord gave us in reference to these two scriptures. My title, what I want you to think about this morning, is Sealed by the King. Sealed by the King. So, as I studied this in that word that's used there, sealed, in that Holy Spirit of promise, Paul is referencing a practice that was common that people would have understood. Now, you all probably know from studying history and probably watching movies, reading books and things, right? In times past, there was not a mail service. There was not ways of necessarily certifying things. And so a king, and again, I know you've seen this in movies and read about it and things. So the king would write, let's say, a law or a decree or an order or something that he would have done. Or perhaps he would be dictating it, have somebody write it. He had scribes and these different things. So the king has something that he is trying to send out, and it's been written down in a letter or a scroll. And the way that the king would certify that this was coming from him, that this was his word, his decree, his law, and not somebody else's, was he had a, many times it's called a seal, a signet ring. Now we see in that sometimes it was on a ring that he wore, or maybe it was a medallion around his neck, or something that bore the royal seal, whatever that it was, that couldn't be counterfeited. And he would take that letter, that scroll, whatever it might be, and take wax and seal that thing up, or drip that hot wax on that letter to close it. And then he would take that ring or whatever that had his personal seal upon it that certified that it was from him, and he would press that into that hot wax, leaving a mark that was from the king, so that when that letter, that scroll, that whatever it was went out, it could be seen, number one, that it hadn't been tampered with, because if you broke that wax seal, it would leave marks on the paper, and so it would be easy to see if it had been tampered with. And then the receiving party could examine that seal and see that, yes, this is in fact from the king. It's not a counterfeit. This bears his mark. This is true directly from the king. And so that is the practice that was common in Paul's day and down through the ages up until probably quite recently. And so this is the picture that would have been in the minds of people based upon the phrase that Paul used. He says that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so being sealed in that context, having reference to what the king or the ruler would do when he put his mark and sealed a note or an order or whatever it was, it has a larger connotation for what it means here that Paul is talking about. So I want us to take a look at being sealed by the king. Because what Paul is saying is that if you've been saved, if you're a child of God, you have been sealed by the king. Not just an earthly king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every saved individual, everyone that's put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that's what he's talking about, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after ye believe. So after you believe, if you believed unto salvation on Jesus Christ, you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You've been sealed by the King. But what does that mean? What does that entail? I want us as God's children to reflect a little bit upon what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. To be sealed by the King. Well, first of all, the king had to be in direct contact. Being sealed required direct contact. Again, the vision I have in my head is the king wearing that ring. Again, there were other ways. It wasn't always a ring, but particularly I've seen it portrayed that way. Maybe that's just a Hollywood portrayal, but it seems to make sense. A ring is something that you wear. It's always there. It's very difficult to lose if you keep it on your finger, and it's difficult for somebody to take it if it's on your finger. It's there. It's pretty secure if it's on your finger and it fits well. So it seems to me that probably was a common way that the king would have it. That way it was always on his person. It didn't get lost. Nobody else could come in and take it to try to give orders on the king's behalf. My picture is, in my mind, is of that letter and the king by his own hand putting that wax on there, and then he reaches down with his hand and he presses his hand into that wax, leaving his mark upon it. That is the first act of being sealed. And I'm telling you, that is what happened to me when I was 11 years old. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that's what happened to you. I want you to see that picture of God Himself. After that, He had stirred you up by the Holy Spirit. He had brought your sin up before your eyes, and all that time softening your heart, taking that heart of stone, and through contrition and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, grinding that heart down into powder, turning that heart of stone into a heart of flesh, as it says over there in Ezekiel. And he took that heart of flesh, and once he had turned that heart of stone, he said, "See, a stone won't take a seal from the ring, will it? You can press all you want on that stone and it's not going to leave a mark." And that's why they use that wax. They would heat that wax up and drip it. And that wax, of course, you all know, hot wax is very soft, but it requires heat to be applied. Didn't the heat of the Holy Spirit soften your heart up? I'm telling you, anybody that's never felt the heat of the Holy Spirit soften them up, I don't know how they could possibly be saved, because they have to be worked upon. It takes a softening of the heart. And by the heat of the Holy Spirit, I mean that contrition and that conviction that I remember setting up with me, that I felt many times as I bowed before the Lord on the altar. As you've seen other sinners bow down before God and conviction upon them. If you've been saved, you can remember back to the Spirit of God working upon your heart and softening it up, just like the heat of the candle or whatever would eventually heat up and then melt that wax. And once it is just in the consistency that it's necessary. Once the Holy Spirit has worked you to the point that you cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation, and your heart is ready at that point, is ready to take the seal of the Master, and then God Himself reaches down with His hand and comes into direct contact, just like the king with that wax, and He presses it in and He leaves a mark. He did that to my heart. The king's mark is upon my heart. Is the king's mark upon your heart today? Is the mark of God Himself upon you? That's the first thing that has to happen with being sealed, is there's direct contact. Listen, we don't believe in some faceless, emotionless, unfeeling religion or salvation that comes just from repeating a few words or from partaking in some ritual or whatever it might be. You don't get saved by just reading your Bible. You don't even get saved by getting down on your knees and praying. You get saved when God comes into contact with you. It has to be personal. It has to be real. The King Himself makes contact. And He made contact with me. That's salvation. That's how you know that you know the King makes contact with your heart. And it happened to me. And I believe it's happened to everyone that truly knows the Lord. I've heard enough testimonies that's the common thread, that a person has to be touched by the hand of the King. And so there's direct contact. When we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, we come into direct contact with God Himself. And anybody that's not experienced that, if you've only come into contact with a man or a priest or a ritual or even these words, as beautiful and wonderful as they are, if you've not come into contact with God Himself, then you haven't been sealed. That's just a requirement. The king has to press his mark into that wax to leave his seal. That's being sealed by the king. And when he does that, he marks that missive, that letter, whatever we want it, he marks it as his property. It's now property of the king, isn't it? It's got his mark on it. I've got the king's mark upon my heart. He made my heart flesh, and he put a mark upon me that belongs to him and marked me as belonging to him. You know, it says that over in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you're sealed by the King, you belong to Him. You're His property. Now, He doesn't exercise tyrannical ownership over you, does He? No. He lets us make a choice. We have a choice every day whether we are going to recognize that we are owned by the King. He gives us a choice every day whether we're going to follow His direction or not, whether we're going to submit unto Him or not. You know, a slave that's a slave of a man or of a wicked master doesn't have a choice. And he can say no, and he'll take a beating. See, he doesn't really have a choice. God's not like that. He gives us a choice. He wants us to serve Him out of love. But make no mistake about it, if you have been sealed by the King, you belong to the King. Paul says it here, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. You belong to Him. When you bowed down, when your heart was softened and you cried out to Jesus Christ for salvation, you made Him Lord and Master. You gave everything that you were, everything that you are, and everything that you will ever be unto Him. You brought yourself under His lordship, and He marked you. He said, I accept you into the beloved. I accept you as one of my children. I'm going to wash you with my blood. I will clothe you in my righteousness, and I'll mark you as my own. Too often we don't act like it, though, do we? Too often we don't live like we're the property of the king. But listen, there are great benefits that come with being the property of the king. First of all, when he makes us his property, that sealing doesn't just make us his property, it certifies. It certifies. That's one of the things that the mark of the king did, was certify that letter, certify that what was in it was of the king. That mark was very important because it might be a law, it might be a direction, it might be something of great import. Probably was something that was going to affect people's lives, the life of the nation, and it needed to be certified that it was from the king. That's what that mark did. It certified that this is from the king. And when he marks us, he certifies us. He certifies us. Now, it wasn't to certify to the king. The king knew that that was his words, wasn't it? He wrote down his words. He knew what his words were. He put his mark to certify it to everybody else so that everybody else might know this comes from the king. These words belong to the king. This thing that is marked with his seal belongs to the king. It certifies. God certifies his children, doesn't he? Isn't that what he did with that first generation church? They were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and God certified them with what? With miracles, great signs and wonders, didn't he? They could raise up the lame. They could heal the sick. They could do all kinds of things. They spoke in tongues. Now, not gibberish, but they spoke in languages that they had never learned, that they had no reason to know, but God gave them ability to speak in those languages so that the gospel could reach others in their native tongue and to certify that they were of God. That was the whole reason behind all of those great miracles, that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon that first generation church. There was a lot of competing. There was a lot of people saying a lot of things about God. The Jews were still saying, we're the people of God, and God says you got to do this. And there was this faction over here that said, yeah, well, we're Jews too, but we're different kinds of Jews, and we say that God says you have to do this. And on and on and on, there was all these factions. And then in the midst of that were these people that said, we follow the man Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified of the Romans. The Jews called for his blood, and he was crucified and died that horrible death, but he raised again on the third day, and we're followers of him. And he says, you've got to do this. You've got to repent and believe. Well, there's all these competing words. And so God certified those that were his. He certified them. When he sealed them with the Holy Spirit of promise, he also gave them great gifts and signs and wonders to certify to the world that the things that they were saying were of God. There was no doubt about it. How could people deny that they were speaking the words of God when they could raise lame men up, when they could heal the sick, and all the various things that they did that you can read about through the book of Acts? That's one of the things on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came down and they began speaking in all those different languages. You know, there was Jews from all over the diaspora. They were all over the known world that spoke different languages that they grew up with. And they began to hear the gospel in all these different languages. And see, they knew there was something. They said, aren't these men of Galilee? Where did they learn to speak all these different tongues? It wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. They weren't scholars. They weren't learned men. Though they recognized this must be of God. And so they were certified by the Holy Spirit. You and I are certified. Not in the same way. We don't have the those great miracles. I know that there are people that teach that those things happen, though, that there's a second baptism by the Holy Spirit and tongues and all these things. We don't believe that that happens. That passed away with the first generation church because there's no more need. There's no more need. God did what he intended to do with that, which was certify the truth, and it spread like wildfire. He didn't need to certify it anymore after he had done it with that first generation. But listen, you and I are certified before the world. When he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, does he not produce a transformed life? Sure he does. And if you don't have a transformed life, or anybody that claims to be a child of God that doesn't have a transformed life, then I doubt whether anything really happened. And we should, because there's a certification. What is it? It's a transformed life. Now, does that mean everybody's life looks the same? No, but you all know, those that have been saved, that if you have been saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, that you're not the same person that you were. You don't have the same disposition towards sin that you once had. Now, does that mean that we don't sin anymore? Well, of course not. We still sin, but we know that our disposition towards sin is different. We don't revel in sin the way that we used to. We don't love it the way that we used to. Rather, we love righteousness. And God will begin to work in our transformation in our lives. A transformation and a difference that people can see. That is part of the certification that God has left unto us. James talks about that over in the second chapter of James, doesn't he? He talks about good works, but really he's talking about transformed life. He said, the faith without works is dead. He said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, my works, my good works, transformed life that I live is the evidence of the faith that I proclaim. It's the certification. It's what certifies us to the world that we are who that we say we are. I'll tell you another thing that God gives us that certifies us. When He seals us, He gives us a love. Doesn't He? He ought to. I know He does. We ought to display it, I guess is what I meant to say. We ought to display it. And I know I pointed to this on several occasions, but it stands large in my mind. And I think it ought to stand large in all of our minds as Christians. Jesus said over there in the Gospel of John, and He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this may all men know that ye are my disciples. Jesus set up love, true agape love, true active love, godly love. He said that is the standard. That's the certification. That's the way that people will know that you are mine. Because when I mark you, part of my sealing, my mark upon you is a love. A love that will come out of you that the world just can't, they don't have. And they can't manufacture it because it doesn't come from within man. It doesn't come from the wisdom of man. There's no way that it can be generated from the heart of man. It can only come from God. God-like love. And He gives us that. He gives us that for Him and for one another if we'll live it. If we'll really grab a hold of it. 1 John, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's pretty stark. John said, this is the way. This is the way we know. We know. And this is the way the world will know, because of the love that we have one for another. Not the way that the world loves, but the way that God loves. Because what did Jesus say? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, that was not a new commandment. That was already there. That was in the Old Testament, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. They knew that. They ought to have known that. So what was new about it? He said, not that you love one another. He said that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now, the love that Jesus had for us, for His disciples, and for us all the way down to you and I, that love is greater than loving our neighbor as ourself. He loved us greater, didn't He? Everything that He did, His whole life, was for the benefit of us, for His disciples, for those that would believe upon Him. He even loved the world that slew Him. He said, of all those that crucified Him, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed that for all of them, knowing that not all would believe. believe upon him. Not all would accept him. Some would die and go to their grave not believing upon him, despising him, yet he loved them anyway. That's the kind of love that we're called to. Is a self-sacrificing love. A love that transcends just the love that we have for one another, loving our neighbor as ourselves, but even greater than that, a love which lives for our brothers, which dies for our brothers. Godly love. And we can only get it from God. See, that's certification because it can't be manufactured. It can't be given by anybody else. It can only be given when God seals us. When you get the seal from the King, you get that love of God put in your heart. What we have to do is let it come out. See, the world, Satan, everything around us is going to try to put it back down in. And try to put it back down in because they don't want that to come out. But I want you to think about that first generation church. You know, they lived in a time when loving your neighbor was considered weakness. The Gentiles, the of that time, those heathen pagans. I mean, to love your neighbor was weakness. It was foolishness. You needed to look out for yourself, look out for your own family, look out for your own children. You didn't worry about other people. That's why they had beggars on the streets and all the things. And I want to tell you, you go other places in the world where Christianity has not influenced their culture for the last 2,000 years, and it's like that. I've been places, and others of you have been places where Christianity had never got a foothold. There's some sporadic here, but it never really influenced culture like it has in the West, and they still have people lying in the streets, children, and they just step over them, and they don't think anything about it. We don't realize how much the love of God has affected even our culture. As far as it is from God, we still are reaping the benefits of Christian love the way that it was manifested in the early days and the way that it spread throughout. And so God has called us to love. That's what certifies us. And finally, that certification is in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5th chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we can consistently display these attributes, that's certifying to the world who we are, because these are not human attributes. These are not attributes that come natural to a sin-filled, a sin-cursed race. Look at the world around us. These are not the attributes that you see out on Facebook, out in the workplace, anywhere else you go. You don't see these on display because they don't come from the world. They come from the Holy Spirit. They come when we are sealed by the King. Again, just like love, if we'll let them come to the forefront. They're in there. God wants to bring them, but we've got to allow them to come out. But that's part of the certification. That God's church and His people will never, ever be on display before the world in a greater way than if we allow love and these things we read about in Galatians to shine forth. Listen, it's not the purity of our doctrine, though that is important. It's not how well that we can articulate the gospel, though that is important. What will really set the world on fire, what will really change the world is this, the certification of the Holy Spirit. When our love begins to shine forth like the love of God, when it shines forth in a dark and dreary world, when we as God's people begin to show forth joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness in a world that despises those things, when we begin to show those things forth, then the gospel will begin to get a hold of people. That's the certification that we are the people of God. Is those, and to the extent that those things shine forth out of us, God will be glorified and magnified. That's what He has certified us with when He sealed us. When the King sealed us, He made these things possible. And they're things that we need to strive for as the children of God. I got to move on. That sealing
That seal of the king is indelible. It cannot be forgotten or removed. That's what indelible means. I had to look it up. I've used it before, but I didn't know exactly what it meant. I had to look it up. It means it cannot be removed or forgotten. My salvation cannot be removed or forgotten. I'm thankful for eternal security, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful. There's nothing I can do to mar it, to mark it, to get rid of it, to make God forget about it. Once it's done, once He has sealed that art, it's sealed. Sealed by God's hand. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't reach down and erase it. It's there, and it's there for good. I'm thankful for that. That's a high calling upon us, though, isn't it? When He marks us as His, He does so forever, for eternity. But He expects us to serve Him. He expects us to submit to His will. But it's indelible. We don't have to worry about it going away. You know, one of the pictures of being in Christ, and I preached about this here maybe not too long, I can't remember when, about the ark. You know, Noah's ark, that's a picture of Christ. And as they had to be in the ark to escape the judgment of the flood, so also we have to be in Christ to escape the coming judgment at the end of the world. But you know, we remember when Noah got there in the ark, it said that God closed the door. God sealed him up, and he couldn't got out even if he wanted to. Once he was in there, God shut the door. He sealed Noah in. And likewise, when he saved me, when he reached down and pressed that signet ring into my heart, he sealed me, and I can't get out of it even if I wanted to, because he's laid claim to me. And if you're saved, he's laid claim to you. It can't be forgotten or erased. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. The seal protects. You know, in the old days, I mean, we still have it some, but in the old days, you know, there wasn't police. You didn't have state troopers out there. And roads were dangerous. When you were out on a road going from one settled place to another, you were out in the wilderness. There was bandits. There was brigands. There was people looking to rob and to steal and to kill. But when you had something from the king, well, they might think twice. They might just rob a regular person. But a messenger of the king that was bearing something with the king's seal, now that was a little bit different. Not every thug and cutthroat on the road wanted to mess with a message from the king. It gave protection. The seal gave protection. I want to tell you, when God seals us, we are given protection. Satan doesn't have any dominion over us anymore. Now, we give him dominion all the time. We give him power, but God has severed his power. When he saved us, when he separated us from our sins, when he separated us from bondage to sin, Satan does not have power over us as long as we are in God. As long as we are carrying that seal close to our heart and we bear it everywhere that we go. This is the seal of the king. I'm marked by the king. Satan has no power. Now that's great. That's a great thing to keep in mind, to remember in this life. As long as we are bearing the seal of the king and we are showing it forth. See, too often we bury it in there and see, people don't know. They don't know. We're not showing it. We're hiding it. And then we're just like everybody else and we don't have any protection. But when we take the seal, the certification of God, and we show it forth to the world, say, I'm of the Lord. Satan has no power. It gives us protection from the things of this world, the powers and the principalities that rule in this world. We have protection by being sealed by the king. It's designed to be seen. I said that it's designed to be seen by the world. And I already talked about the miracles and those other things. But it's not for us to hide. It's to be seen by the world. It's to be seen by the world. Finally, when the king puts his seal on a message, it's as good as delivered. It's as good as delivered. It will make it to where it's supposed to go. That's the whole point. He gives it to that messenger. He puts that seal upon it. And he says, take it here, take it there, take it wherever. It will be delivered. if the king's strong enough, if the king's powerful enough. Now, if he's a weak king and he's, maybe he's not going to make it, but I'm telling you, the king that I serve, that you serve, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the most powerful. And when he puts his seal on something, it will be delivered to its final destination. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I and you, brothers and sisters, can take heart in knowing that we will be delivered to our final destination. Through the flood, through the fire, through wherever that we have to go on this journey that God sends us, if you bear the mark of the King, you will be delivered. What does Jesus say as they were about to be sent through the fire and the flood, so to speak? Over there in the 14th chapter of John, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Listen, that is our final destination, brothers and sisters, is to be with Jesus Christ, our Savior, forever and ever. That's the seal, the earnest of the Spirit. When we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the promise is that you will be delivered. There is a road to be traveled. The messenger has a road to travel. And there may be fire, and there may be flood, and there may be war, and there may be thieves and brigands and everything else along the way. But rest assured, that which is sealed by the King will be delivered. And you and I will be delivered. Whatever we face in this life, whatever the ups and downs are, maybe you're on a mountaintop today. I hope so. Praise God. Maybe you're in a valley. Don't worry about it. You will be delivered. Come, whatever may come, in the end, you will be delivered if you bear the seal of the King. That's a promise, sure as anything, that you will be delivered. I'm thankful for that. We can take comfort in that. Through whatever might happen in life, we will be delivered. You're sealed by the King with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we know. You say, how do I know I'm sealed? Well, have you been touched by God? I've already spoken about that. Was there a time that He softened your heart like that wax and He reached down and pressed His mark into your heart? Was there? Has He put a love in you that you don't have naturally? Maybe it struggles. Sometimes maybe the things of the world beat us down, and we find ourselves, as Brother Joe has said, trying to stir the pot. We listen to the devil sometimes, but that love is there. Is it there? Do you want to serve God? The Spirit beareth witness with the Spirit. You know if you've been sealed. I don't know, but you know. And if you have been sealed, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. You will be delivered in the end. Through all the things that this life might have, you shall be delivered. That should be a great hope and comfort unto the children of God. I'll go ahead and wind this down, I guess. So my question is, are you sealed by the King today? If you are, take great comfort in it. We might not always live up to the things that we should. We might not always show the love that we ought to, but let's do better. We might not always display that fruit of the Spirit the way that we ought to, but let's do better. We might not always submit unto God the way that we should, recognizing that we are bought with a price, but let's just do better. Let's do better and rest assured that we will be delivered. And if you're not sealed by the King today, you need to be. If you're not sealed by the King, you've got no hope. The fire and the flood and the wars and the thieves and the bandits, they will overcome you. They will overtake you. You have no protection against the wiles of the devil because you don't have the seal of God. You will be overtaken and you will be dragged down to a devil's hell if you are not sealed by the King. And so that's what I leave you with today. Children of God, if you're sealed by the King, take heart. Take heart in what you've been given. Ponder on it. Think on it. Praise God for it. And if you've not been sealed, if God has never pressed His signet ring into your softened heart and left His mark upon you, you need it. You can't go through this life without it, and you surely will not survive death without it. If you'll lift up your eyes in hell like every other one that's gone through life obstinate with a stony heart, unable and unwilling to be sealed by the King, you need to be sealed by the King. You need to cry out that He might soften your heart and put His mark upon you. Because the only hope that any of us have past this life is to be sealed by the King. This morning, I hope that the Lord has helped you and can give you comfort in those words. But again, if you're lost today, cry out to God, I pray. Cry out. Brother Colin, if we can get a song.